you know, there's something special about fire. When it burns, other things catch fire too. Will you allow me to burn today? I believe your own heart will be ignited.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. I am absolutely delighted to be with you today as we focus on the world, as we focus on moral and cultural issues, and as I share my heart with you, my burden to be a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, and our calling to make an impact on this world, to make an impact on this generation together. I won't be taking calls today. Can't wait for tomorrow's broadcast where, if all goes smoothly, Dr. James White and I will be sharing 2 hours of radio with you live from Spain, where we'll be preparing for two debates, one on the extent of the atonement, for whom did Jesus die, and the other on the gift of healing, is it for today? I'll tell you later on in the broadcast how you can watch those live online. But I just was praying and thinking about the show today, and I just want to share my heart about revolution and what burns in me, because I believe it burns in many of you as well. As long as I've been following Jesus, which is from the end of 1971 until today, there's always been something that burned in me to make a difference, that felt that God put me here in this world to bring about change, that be it touching the world or touching the church or touching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, touching the nations, that somehow there was a calling in my life to make a difference. But friends, I believe many of you feel the exact same way. That knowing the Lord, knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you have eternal life, that you'll be with him forever, is the most wonderful thing of all. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10, not to rejoice because the demons were subject to them, but because their names were written in heaven. That's the greatest thing of all, to know the Lord and to be part of his family. But we are here on the earth with a mission. We are here on the earth with a commission, and everyone has a role to play. I believe many of you feel like that, whether you're working a secular job, whether you're busy raising your kids, whether you're preaching on a street corner, whatever your role is, a sense of God put me here to make a difference. And it's my prayer on today's broadcast, as I function as your listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity here on these airwaves, that the fire that burns in me will burn brighter in you, that there'll be greater faith, greater hope, greater determination, greater vision, that your life can count. I want to look at some scriptures with you. I want to share some of my own history with you. But I want to remind you, as Paul explained to the Corinthians, as he was talking about Paul and Apollos and different ones, and the Corinthians were so enthralled with this figure and that figure and looking to this one and that one. And Paul said, look, neither the one who plants is anything nor the one who waters it is anything, but God who gives the increase. He said to the Corinthians that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He said to the Corinthians that God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Excuse me, the weak things to confound the strong, and the foolish things to confound the wise. It's God working through human vessels. So you might say, I'm not qualified here, or I can't do this. That's where we lean on the Lord and say, Lord, be glorified through me. Lord, use me to touch this world. Use me to make a difference. Use me to leave an eternal legacy of what the name of Jesus and the power of the gospel and the word of God and the spirit of God can do through a yielded vessel. Join me with the gospel in bringing change to this generation, change to this world. Come on, if there was ever time for a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, it is now. I'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to a very special broadcast today on The Line of Fire. I will not be taking your calls, but I believe your heart will be ignited for a Jesus-based moral and cultural revolution. It is the day for the annual Right to Life March. People are staggered as they think of 55 million babies aborted since Roe v. Wade. And if you are one that partook of abortion, I pray that you have found forgiveness and new life and new hope in Jesus. Committing abortion is a forgivable sin through the cross, but it's something like every other sin that when we're forgiven, we turn from it. But think, 55 million people, a mind-boggling number, a number larger than the full population of many great nations around the world. We look at so much of what's happening in our society, the extraordinarily inflammatory, intolerant comments of New York's Governor Cuomo, who said that if you're extreme conservative, if you are, in my words, right to life, of course, he's saying opposing abortion and then a gun control issue, and then you oppose redefining marriage, as he would say, same-sex marriage, you don't belong in New York. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, friends. Across our culture, the need for a Jesus-based revolution, not through human effort, not with anger, hatred, guns, knives, bombs, intimidation. God forbid. That's the exact opposite of the spirit of Jesus, who taught us to overcome evil with good, to overcome hatred with love. But I want to say plainly that we are here to bring about radical change. We are not here just to be nice. We are not here just to be friendly. We are not here just to get along. We are not here just to smile at people. I'm not on the air 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, simply to hear my own voice. And you've got better things to do than listen to my voice if it's just a bunch of talk. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, the kingdom of God is not a matter of words only, but of power. And it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in us. I want to talk to you plainly and honestly from my heart, hoping as I bear witness, as I speak to you as a testimony, that it'll stir something in your own heart. To be perfectly clear, when God saved me, he did not save Michael Brown with a PhD, Michael Brown groomed for ministry, or any of these other things. He saved a wretched, lost sinner. Look, I used to shoot heroin. I stole money from my own father. We would go in Island Park, where I live right near Long Beach, on the south shore of Long Island. We would go at night behind the train tracks at the train station where trucks would park overnight, and we'd get high on pot or some hallucinogenic drug, and then we would walk around to the different trucks and we unscrew the gas cap until we found one that was especially pungent with diesel fumes, and we would huff diesel gas. I mean, sick, crazy things. I've had some hostile religious Jews and other mockers over the years say to me, well, that's what happened to you. That's why you believe this crazy stuff about Jesus. You destroyed your brain. Friends, if not for the grace of God, I would have destroyed my brain. I was not self-destructive. I just got into getting high and did it in a foolish, crazy way that was totally destructive. And I firmly believe if the Lord did not save me when he did, I would not have lived to be 18. If I had gotten my driver's license, the crazy way I lived, the crazy way I did drugs, when I would do hallucinogenic drugs, I would take a maximum amount I could, 3, 4, 5 times what my friends did. Once I did 30 times what my friends did, it ended up in the hospital overnight. I would get so high, I couldn't distinguish reality from hallucination. When I would walk on the streets at night, I would have to put my hand in front of my face because I couldn't tell what was real and what was not. That's the person God saved. That's the person God had mercy on. I had no intention of going to college whatsoever. None at all. Even though God had changed my life and the drugs and all that junk had gone, and the rebellion had gone, I still had the old hippie mentality of who needs a traditional education. I just wanted to preach and go in ministry. And God convicted me to honor my parents who wanted me to go to college. I had no intention of going, let alone being a Hebrew major, let alone getting a PhD in Semitic languages, let alone having the scholarship to be a tool to use in ministry and debating rabbis and others in biblical studies. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that if God could use someone as wretched as I was, he could use anybody. If God could use someone as foolish and idiotic as me, he could use anybody. Let me tell you a story, and then I want to share some of the vision, some of the history of even why I'm on the radio as I speak to you today about our great need for a Jesus-based, gospel-empowered moral and cultural revolution in our society. And by revolution, I mean radical, dramatic, sweeping change. I mean the kingdom of God coming in power. Oh no, we're not going to take over this world before Jesus comes, but the kingdom of God advancing through the gospel, through making disciples, through setting captives free, through raising a standard of righteousness. I believe as surely as there is a civil rights movement in America, there will be a Jesus revolution in America. There will be a moral and cultural revolution. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Let me share something that happened with me before I was saved. To convince you further, if God can use me, he can use anybody. I had heard from some guys, junkies and others who had experience about breaking into houses, that one good trick was to put toothpicks in the lock on the door. And this way, when the people would come home and go to unlock the door, and many years ago, this was common. You'd come in through the front door, even in suburbs where we had garages and things. Normally people would come in through the front door very commonly as opposed to coming in through the garage. So this was a key way to delay the people. This is what I was told. That you put the toothpicks in, and then when they come home, they fiddle, they have a problem getting the key in, and it gives you time if you're in the house to run. Well, it's not just embarrassing to me to tell you that I broke into some houses in a doctor's office before I was saved. Not just embarrassing, but when I think of it, it still is frightful to think I was that crazy to do it. I broke into a house down the block from where I grew up on Long Island. I called the house. It was a friend's house. Nobody was home. That was my way of checking. I went. I snooped around. I saw nobody home. I put the toothpicks in the front lock, and then I was in the back trying to, again, I'm embarrassed to say it, but I'm telling you for a purpose. I'm in the back trying to figure out how to break in through a window. And again, I had no street sense or anything like this. My dad was the senior lawyer in the New York Supreme Court. I didn't grow up in the streets in that kind of setting. And all of a sudden, I heard someone come to the front door, and I heard him say, "Toothpicks? Who put toothpicks in the lock?" And I took off running. Well, nobody told me I was supposed to break the toothpicks off. I was stupid enough to, some of you are groaning, especially those of you that had a sinful background before you got saved, or even those with a working brain, you're thinking, how could you be so stupid? I just thought they would see toothpicks sticking out and say, "Toothpicks? Who put those in there?" And that would give you a few seconds while they pulled them out to run. I didn't realize you're supposed to break them off, and when you broke them off, the people couldn't get in, and that would give you time to run. That is how stupid I was as a sinner. God had mercy on me and saved me and appointed me to do the work I'm doing. And my boast is in the Lord. And as we get encouraging emails literally flooding our ministry, I know that any good thing that comes out of this ministry is from the Lord. Let me say it again. If God could raise me up and use me to make a difference in this generation, however large or however small, He can use you. And the people who prayed me into the kingdom shared the reward. The people who shared the gospel with me share the reward. The people who put up with me in my early days of foolishness share the reward. You have no idea the impact you could have if you say, Lord, here I am. Be it in prayer, be it in witnessing, be it in discipling, be it in the way you raise your kids, be it in the way you use your finances. Who knows how God can use you? Friends, when we come back, I want to tell you about some of my vision, again, being on radio as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual evolution. And may your own heart be stirred. Why not say, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me, and do what your hand finds to do, little or small. Do it for the glory of God.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to this special broadcast on the Line of Fire. Not taking your calls today, but please do be praying that the Lord would use this broadcast to touch many lives as I'm allowing some of the fire that's in me to come through this broadcast. I pray that it is, with the hope that it'll ignite something deeper in you. Can I share something personal with you from my own journal, from my own heart? And let me first say this. Some of you like Rush Limbaugh. Some of you don't like Rush Limbaugh. I just want to illustrate something using him, all right? And then I'll share this from my journal. I once heard Rush Limbaugh say that he was at an airport. He had come in from a flight, and on the flight was Peter Jennings, who was the famous news anchor, was on ABC News. And he noticed at baggage claim, as they were waiting for their luggage, that there was a group of people at a distance from Peter Jennings pointing and saying, "That's Peter Jennings. That's Peter Jennings." But Rush was surrounded by people who were saying, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, what's up with your mom? How's your dad? Whatever happened with this?" As if they were family. And he realized then, and I've seen it now for years on talk radio, he realized that it was one thing to say be a news anchor man, people knew who you were, but they didn't know you. Whereas on live talk radio, there's an element where the listening audience is like family. Some of you are nodding as I'm saying that because that's how you feel towards me, and that's how I feel towards you. So when we meet for the first time, it's really like family. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I was leaving a grocery store near where I live, and a man came walking up to me with a big grin like he had known me for years. And because I travel a lot and speak a lot and meet people all over the place, often people know me and remember me, and I can't quite place them or I don't remember them at all. But this was different. It was the first time we ever met. And sure enough, he said, "Man, I listen to you on the radio every day." And there's that sense of collegiality and camaraderie. So with you as family, speaking to you as friends, if you're a critic listening and, hey, what can I say? I'm talking to my family. I'm talking to my extended family. But when I got saved and I started preaching, I had this vision of preaching to multitudes and seeing the power of God touch them and change their lives and bring them to repentance. And maybe multitudes, maybe 1,000 people would have seemed like a multitude then. But that grew in me, the vision of going to the nations and then the burning heart to see my Jewish people saved. And then a heart to see revival in the church. And there were promises that God gave me that I've seen, that I've been living out through the years. And in the late 90s, in the midst of great revival and outpouring, God started to stir my heart for revolution. More of the same is only going to produce more of the same. We must have a revolution that starts in the church, radical, dramatic change in the church, and from there spreads to the society. And I began to journal this. I felt the Lord speaking to me that as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, there is going to be a Jesus revolution, a moral cultural revolution based in the gospel, not by earthly means, but by spiritual means. And I'm going to get to be right in the thick of it. I began to journal this more and more. And I'm going to make myself vulnerable and share this with you. February 9th, 2000, I journaled this. Father, something within me is stirring. Is it really possible to shake a nation? Will you really give me a national voice? Will a burning pen ignite the masses? Am I dreaming or is it time? Something is going on. 3:24 a.m. As you know, I stay up late and seek the face of God and often write very late. And that's why it was 3:24 when I journaled this. God had been speaking to me about being on national radio, not for some ambitious reason of wanting to be known or seen. God forbid. And I think that by the time you get to this place in life, that stuff is just burned out of you. It's all about glorifying the Lord and making a difference and touching people's lives. I began to journal that I felt the Lord was making clear I was to be on national talk radio. I began to journal some of the very stations that I'm on now in New York City and other parts of the country, that it was the will of God to be on these. And parallel with it were these journal entries about a coming moral and cultural revolution. And later that same year, September 2nd of 2000, I got to speak at a mass rally with several hundred thousand young people in Washington, D.C., the Call D.C., the largest gathering of Christian young people in America's history, for 12 hours of prayer and fasting and ministry of the word and worship and repentance. I got to bring a message there on Jesus' revolution, and we gave away more than 70,000 copies of the Revolution book, over 300-page book, over $1 million retail value. We got to give that away that day. I mean, it was a miraculous thing going on. And as I looked out at the crowds and our hundreds of students that had driven up to D.C. from Pensacola, I was able to look in their eyes and say, I'm not dreaming. These things are actually going to happen. And friends, every single day when I come to you on the radio and when the announcer says your voice of moral cultural revolution, do you understand moral cultural spiritual revolution? Do you understand that this is a part of a promise from God, that every day I'm on the radio, not because of me, not because of this broadcast, but because it's part of a larger picture with so many others on the air and with so many others preaching behind pulpits and so many others serving in obscurity and so many others ministering in 1,000 different ways across the nation. This is a daily reminder. Every time you hear our theme music, there's a promise, there's a promise, there's a promise. There's going to be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Friends, can I ask you to pray for us like never before? We're going to be sharing more about this in coming days, an extended time of prayer and fasting that we're going to call you, our listeners, to join in, to take different days to pray and to fast with us. But we have never been in the situation we're in ministry before. We've been able to touch many, many thousands and hundreds of thousands over the years by God's grace, and perhaps millions in different settings. But the harvest has never been riper for us. There have never been more opportunities for expansion, and we have never been as stretched out touching people as we are now. If ever we needed a gospel-based revolution in America, it's now. Let me encourage you to partner with us. Do something in obedience to God, whatever He puts on your heart, be it radical, be it whatever it is, whatever He speaks to you, partner with us to make a difference. This week, for your gift of any size, we're sending as our thank you to you my book, Go and Sin No More, A Call to Holiness, a book that will transform your thinking about grace, about legalism, about holiness, and will help empower you to live a changed life, together with more than 10 hours of teaching that I did on this on one CD that you can listen to on your MP3 player or computer. the book and the CD are worth about $40 postage paid. Yours as our thank you gift for your gift of any size. Just do whatever you're able, and together we'll make a difference. Call 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, you have chosen the right day to tune into The Line of Fire. And if you listen every day, wonderful, because my heart is burning. As I was praying about the direction of the show today, I felt to change the direction I originally planned to go. And it's been my desire through this broadcast in the first half hour, and as I continue now afresh, that the fire in my heart would help spark something fresh and burning in your heart, that together we can make a difference. I'm not taking calls today, but please let me alert you. Our broadcast tomorrow, if all goes well, I will be doing our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday together with Dr. James White. I don't know if we'll make it thoroughly Jewish, but it should be thoroughly enjoyable and edifying. We are scheduled to be in Spain together, and we're scheduled to do a debate on Friday night on the extent of the atonement, for whom did Jesus die, and then on Saturday, the gift of healing, is it still for today? If you want to watch those, go to revelationtv.com. This is the largest Christian network in Europe, revelationtv.com. And when you go there, it will air 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That'll be live, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Friday and Saturday, and then a repeat, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, on Friday and Saturday as well. It's revelationtv.com. Also, I don't know how this works because I don't use Roku, but those of you who have Roku, apparently you can watch on your TV through Revelation. We will make sure that you stay posted on that via announcements on Facebook and Twitter. So if you haven't connected with us via social media, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And just click on the Facebook icon, the Twitter icon, and this way you will get the announcements and the reminders from us. Friends, my heart is ablaze to see a Jesus revolution in our generation. It is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, 55 million babies born. And today is the day of the right to life march that is held in conjunction with Roe v. Wade, I should say. And I was in D.C. with my friend Lou Engel for a day of prayer and fasting and repentance in 2005. We drove up from North Carolina then with a group of students from Fire School of Ministry and some folks from Fire Church. And there were special meetings that were going to take place. And then on this particular day, we had a rally in D.C. And then we marched with life tape, red tape on our mouths with the word life written on it. We marched silently to the Supreme Court and we prayed silently, appealing to God to overturn this monstrous ruling by the courts that has brought so much destruction on so many lives. 55 million babies aborted. God only knows the effect on the mothers and the fathers and others involved in all of this. And as we were praying in front of the Supreme Court, God began to speak to me about issues having to do with homosexuality. He had been burdening me through 2004 about this and speaking to me about raising my voice concerning these things. And a lot of the thoughts came together in one simple word. And that word has been repeated around America, even in other nations. They've picked up on this because it was truly a word, an insight from the Lord. And it was this: reach out and resist. reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. Who knew the journey that we'd be on since then? Who knew how far things have gone in America since then in wrong directions? Who knew how ripe the time would be for a Jesus revolution? I'll talk to you more about that when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Right before the break, I mentioned how in 2005, at the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, where we stand today on the annual Right to Life March in D.C., we had gathered at this time in D.C. for prayer and fasting. And it was then that the Lord spoke to me those words that kind of brought together things that had been growing in my heart through 2004. Reach out and resist. In terms of homosexual issues, reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. By the way, if you're just tuning in, I'm not taking calls today, but I'm opening my heart up wide as your listener-sponsored voice of moral cultural revolution, moral cultural spiritual revolution. I'm talking to you from the heart with the hope that vision will be imparted, that your faith will rise, that something will burn in you to say, here I am, I want to make a difference. Because friends, there is no special group of saints that God's going to raise up one day who don't have flesh and blood, who don't get tired, who don't have limitations. All he has is people like you and me, and his power is made manifest through us. And in fact, his power is clearly made manifest through us because no one could think that we could do the work that God does through us, because we are frail human beings outside of him. But in him, all things, and with him, all things are possible. So here it is. 2005 in D.C. on a frigidly cold day, as we were praying together silently in front of the Supreme Court, I hear these words, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Friends, since then, the Lord has given me a voice in this area. You say, well, you're trained. No. My academic training was not in these fields. You say, yeah, but you minister. Look, I didn't minister in this area. I didn't come out of homosexuality myself. I did not have a ministry that focused on those issues. And where I focused on social moral issues, primarily it wasn't this. This was simply a commission because of the urgency of the need that another soldier was needed in the army. When I say army, I'm talking about the Jesus army that overcomes evil with good, that overcomes hatred with love, that doesn't take life. We give our lives for this world. So I'm not talking about some kind of violent army, but there was need for someone else to join the ranks on the front lines. And here, God's given me books, A Queer Thing Happened to America, almost 700 pages, almost 1,500 endnotes, carefully documented to the point that we got a request the other day from India, with laws that have changed recently and a need to further reinforce an understanding of these key issues. Could a key chapter from the book be taken and condensed and used in a book to be circulated in India? And then last year, pastors from Singapore we spoke to, they needed copies of the book and were making multiple copies of DVD lecture series to spread to pastors in Singapore. And then just yesterday, I got a call from another country asking if I could come and test to the Congress of this country about these issues. I've been put on the hit list of the Southern Poverty Law Center as one of the new leaders of the radical right, along with people like David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and Malik Zulu Shabazz, head of the New Black Panthers, and neo-Nazis and skinheads and others. How do I get on that list? Because of the voice that God's given me about these issues. I'm on the list of GLAAD, which used to be known as the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I say a more accurate name is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. I'm on their commentator accountability project list, where they tell the networks, do not have someone like Mike Brown on the air because you should not be exposed to his views. Friends, this is an honor for the gospel. What am I saying? I had no connection with this. I had no voice in this. God broke my heart with a burden for the people that I continue to carry for this day. I feel a special sensitivity of the love of God for those who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. And there's always a pain I have in standing for righteousness because I know in their mind they feel it is hate and they feel it is driving them away. But we have to do what's right regardless of cost or consequence. Here I've been able to research and study and look at these things carefully so as to be able to give, in certain levels, expert testimony or to go before the media, debate on a college campus. What's the point? God's just looking for people. God's just looking for people who will say, Lord, I want to be used. He's looking for school teachers. He's looking for homeschooling moms. He's looking for computer programmers. He's looking for athletes. He's looking for prayer warriors. He's looking for businessmen. He's looking for givers. He's looking for pastors and leaders. He's looking for people who will say, Lord, here I am, and use me, because all he has to use in the revolution is you and me. And when we move beyond the point of caring first about our reputation, oh, we want to have a good reputation as it pertains to being people who are honest and pure and people of integrity and hardworking and who love our neighbors and we're not obnoxious fools and busybodies and thieves. But when it comes to the gospel, we're going to be reproached. When it comes to righteousness, our name is going to be trashed, the same as Yeshua's name was trashed. When we get to the point where we don't care about our own reputation, when we get to the point that we don't care about our own well-being, but we care more about the kingdom of God, about the name of Jesus, about making a difference in this world, friends, we can be part of a world-changing revolution. And let me proclaim it again. For years, God has been speaking to my heart that just as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, there will be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Let me make my heart vulnerable. I wrote this journal entry down April 17th, 1998, in the midst of the Brownsville Revival, as my friend and colleague evangelist Steve Hill was reading the summary of Paul's sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11. I wrote this down. I feel this. Oh, to be so caught up in the work of the Lord that he is everything to me, and the world and all the demons of hell are against me because I'm dangerous, a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Oh, for a Holy Spirit-impelled activity that stirs things up, tearing down satanic strongholds and building up an army for God. Oh, that's the only way I could express it. And can I read the beginning again? After reading about Paul's sufferings and hearing the opposition he had for the gospel, oh, to be so caught up in the work of the Lord that he is everything to me in the world, and all the demons of hell are against me because I'm dangerous, a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Doesn't your heart beat for the same thing? Not to be obnoxious, not to just be loud mouth, not to be a troublemaker, but to be a Jesus person, and for the world to treat you the way it treated him, the way it treated Paul, the way it treated apostles, the way it treated others, servants of his who've followed him, not for our name's sake, but for his. Again, I'm not taking calls today, but I am speaking from my heart. This journal entry, October 7th, 1999. My heart is flaming for revolution. Watching a particular video, I see again how only a radical, passionate, by life or by death movement can shake a nation, and I feel called to help ignite such a movement. And I wrote this, how I hate white-collar religion, how I hate commercialism, how I hate Christianity within four walls, how I hate faith without fire, profession without passion, belief without burden, how I resonate with the total putting oneself into a thing mentality, the way the godless rock stars did. Well, before I was saved and the whole rock music scene, I just wanted to throw myself into that, the drugs, the music, and give myself to it. It was satanic. It was demonic. It was destructive. Now that we're saved, we shouldn't just get into a lovely home and garden religion and have a lovely Sunday service and go home to our lovely lives. No, friends, we're called to be world changers. We're called to go and make disciples of the nations. We're called to be disciples. And you may have a lovely service and you may have a lovely life to a certain extent, but the question is, are you and I a threat to hell? Are you and I a threat to the kingdom of darkness because light shines through us, because Jesus is exalted through us? Oh, friends, I cannot tell you how, I am telling you how my heart is burning to see this happen and how I know I'm on radio for this very purpose. We come back. I just want to tell you how you can stand with us, how together we can make a difference. But please, if you are not in touch with us, if you don't get our e-blast, if you don't follow me on Facebook and Twitter, right now, take a minute, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on the email icon to get our e-blast and the Facebook and Twitter icons to connect with us there. Click on the YouTube icon to subscribe to our YouTube videos. And friends, let us get holy revolutionary propaganda into your hands.
Send it, Lord. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, if you missed any part of today's broadcast where I've opened up my heart, haven't taken calls, open up my heart to share with you from the very core of my being, my heart for a Jesus-based gospel revolution, a moral, cultural, spiritual revolution in our society that will be as real and impactful as the civil rights movement that you'll be able to document and look at and see. I believe God is going to bring it. I hope against hope because of who God is and because of what He's promised me. Even part of that promise was being on the radio, things I journaled years ago that I was called to be on national talk radio on some of these very stations as a voice of revolution. It's no coincidence that 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, I'm introduced as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. It's another encouragement to me that God is going to do what He spoke. Not that I'm the big man or the center of this, but I am a person in the midst of a large thing that God is doing. And I believe that together we are making a difference. If you missed any part of this broadcast, please go to my website later today, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and listen to the entire broadcast. And if it ministers to you, share it with a friend. Let me go back to this journal entry. I've read it before, not for some time on the air, but it goes back to October 7th of 1999. My heart is flaming for revolution. No, friends, not a revolution of hatred, violence, anger, intimidation, a Jesus revolution, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love through the gospel, through the power of the Spirit, through godly people living godly lives in the society and bringing about change through the name of Jesus. My heart is flaming for revolution. I was watching a particular video that night called God Fights Back, and I journaled, I see again how only a radical, passionate by life or by death movement can shake a nation, and I feel called to help ignite such a movement. And then I said this, how I hate white-collar religion, how I hate commercialism, how I hate Christianity within four walls, how I hate faith without fire, profession without passion, belief without burden. how I resonate with the total putting oneself into a thing mentality. You know, in recent days, people have been sending me links, listen to this, watch this, read this. People accusing me, you appeared on Benny Hinn's TV show with greedy motives to sell books. And friends, I would actually play some of the clips on the air for you. If not, for one, I don't want to dignify them. And two, I would then have to identify the people and it would ultimately be an embarrassment. If there's anybody that you're not going to bring that accusation against, it's me. You don't write books like The End of the American Gospel Enterprise and sow royalties into missions and the work of the gospel for decades because you write books to get rich. And the funny thing, I was telling Nancy that someone was saying that maybe I'd sell 500,000 or a million books by being on the radio broadcast. We were laughing out loud at the preposterous nature of it. And if the books were bought through our ministry on top of it, I wouldn't receive a dime of royalties anyway. And the idea you'd go on a show to sell books to make money is carnal and ridiculous. I pray from the heart that the people who've been saying these things are not projecting their own attitudes, because that's bizarre. That's just bizarre. But we were laughing about, yes, selling a million books. She said, you're from their mouth to God's ear. Listen, when I write these things, how I hate faith without fire, how I hate commercialism, how I hate white-collar religion, it's because I burn to see Jesus exalted in our society and this nation shaken and the nations of the earth shaken. And here's what I wrote down. Here's what I wrote down. I prayed that God would cause things that I had written to take off and make an impact on millions of lives. Why? Because I want my name known. No, you know what I prayed? I prayed this as George Whitefield prayed in the past. He prayed, let the name of Whitefield perish, that the cause of Christ may live. I was meditating on that very prayer. Years ago, I had finished putting together special study notes for a study Bible that Sid Roth produced years ago, and it was some of the greatest insights God had given me at that point. We've been able to develop them at length and put them out in five volumes of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus now. But this was in the earlier days. The first time I had put them out, I was so thrilled that God had enabled me to get those things out and share them with a wider audience. I was on my knees praying and meditating on the very quote, let the name of Whitefield perish, that the cause of Christ may live. And right then, the phone rang, and I felt in my heart, it's okay, you can stop praying for a moment, answer the phone. It was Sid Roth. Sid said, Mike, I have good news and bad news for you. The new Messianic Bible is out. Good news, it looks beautiful. The bad news, they have the names of all of the different contributors by their notes, but I had written the largest part. He said, Mike, somehow they left your name out. All I could say was, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. This is what I journaled, that I'm making myself vulnerable. I said, if Ayatollah Khomeini's words, because he was the one featured in the beginning of this God Fights Back video, if Ayatollah Khomeini's words could spark a satanic revolution that remains to this day, why can't my words, birthed by you, spark a holy revolution? And I prayed, anoint my heart, anoint my mind, anoint my life, anoint my words, and I prayed, fire, fire, fire. Friends, this is what I burned for. This is why I'm on the air. This is why we do what we do, because we want to spark a revolution, a genuine revolution, a moral and cultural revolution through the power of the gospel. The 60s saw radical negative transformation come to America through the counterculture revolution. It's time for a holy counterculture revolution. And by God's grace, through radio, through writing, through all of the other means we have, we want to help spark this in your heart so together we can make a difference. May I ask you to stand with us however you're able to. Some of you are able to in a substantial way. All the funds go right back out into ministry. Can I ask you to stand with us today? Not from my pocket, not a dime will go there, but 100% to help our ministry work on the radio to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to the nations and to rock this nation of America. For your gift of any size, we want to send you as our thank you gift my book, Go and Sin No More, a book that will empower you to live a grace-based, legalism-free, holy life, along with a CD audio series that I did that you can listen to on your computer or MP3 player, together about a $40 value, including postage. But our thank you gift for your gift of any size, do what you can. Call now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I am not dreaming. With all my heart, I believe by the power of the gospel, there will be a Jesus revolution in our nation. And you and I, by his grace, will get to be part of it.